from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, God, that sounds anguished.
Yes, I do.
When?
I don't know.
Is he a Steeler by September 1st?
No.
Oh, God. Is he a Steeler by September, what is it, 8th?
Yes.
September 7th?
It's going to happen on Labor Day, and we're going to have to all come in here and work.
No, you can do that, actually.
I would.
I know
you. If it happened that day.
What time in the show, if it happened at 2:05, would you jet right in here?
I would.
If it happened at 4:45,
I'd set up probably shop at home.
If it happened at 5:50,
I'd get on the air. I'd call in. Cabali, now writing for the McAfee Show as a correspondent. If Saturday's preseason game showed anything, it is that the Steelers really need a wide receiver too. It's only going to get worse, says Cabali. Why any team wouldn't take Pickens out of the game and take your chances with the others would be malfeasance on their part.
Malfeasance?
Yes.
That's a Mulsey word.
Van Jefferson was the Steelers' leading receiver in Saturday's game with 3 catches for 19 yards. Calvin Austin not exactly bathing himself in glory by taking that false start penalty on the first drive before Jones gave
up one
of his sacks.
So sloppy, man. Just so bad. But it doesn't matter. Mostly.
So why would the Steelers meet the second and third? I think San Francisco would say, did you watch your team play Saturday night, Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin? That's why we need to find a compromise deal, even though there's no one else in the bidding here.
Like the entire,
look at these guys.
Yeah, you don't need there isn't a compromise deal if there's no one else in the bidding. It's here's our terms. This is what we're willing to accept. Don't blink. They're the team that has to blink in this, I think, more than the Steelers do collectively.
The Steelers really do need another weapon. It's hard for me to fathom them being a great offense, especially if the offensive line is going to take time to coalesce and get its crap together. It seems to me right now, even though I'm not trying to overreact to the preseason, but even without watching August football, I think it's reasonable to think that it's going to take time for an offensive line with so many young guys to be good. I think it's fairly far-fetched to think that they're going to be a functioning at a high-level offensive line week one. Even if all the guys are in the spots where we want them to be.
Jones
at left tackle,
Sayamalu,
Frazier,
they will be
Daniels,
a work in progress.
Fautanu.
Can I interest you in wide receiver two, Justin Fields? Just send him over there. I'm sure he can learn on the fly.
Well, that's why they need to find a way to get him, especially if the Ayuk thing doesn't happen. I think you have to be creative enough.
You have to treat him like he's your best offensive weapon, not named George Pickens.
Yeah, I don't like.
But that you also don't really want to play him at quarterback.
Yeah.
So slash Stewart role.
Pretty much. But I don't think he can. I don't mean at wide receiver.
Running
I don't
back.
Want him.
He would be. He's a runner. He's a runner of the football. When he gets the ball in the open field, he looks like a running back, not a wide receiver. Lamar reminds me more of sometimes a wide receiver, slender build. Fields a dump truck, man. Yeah, their offense looked like crap, though. I even have a hard time totally evaluating the wide receivers just because, like, they tried to do so little. And I still think that their plan B that they, I would imagine, are somewhat comfortable with is Pat Freiermuth is wide receiver two, functionally speaking.
Wasn't in love with his game. I thought there was a third and long, I think it was after the first Jones sack, where Wilson threw it to him, and it was maybe an 8 or 9 yard pass, and he's got to get he's got to get 5 or 6 more yards. And there was either a corner or a safety that he had one-on-one. He just needed to break the tackle to get the first down, and he couldn't get it.
There was a guy helping finish the play, but he didn't. I think it was a corner that he couldn't take for a 2 yard ride, basically.
Yeah. I love Pat. I'm pretty ambivalent about him getting a contract extension from the Steelers.
I feel like
it's not a must for me.
I feel like that's a departure from where you were at 3-4 weeks ago. I thought you were more, not maybe bullish about it over the top, but I thought you felt like it was a good move to do. But ambivalence very different than
I never. Well, I don't think I never thought it was like a slam dunk move. Especially,
no, I think you were just saying it was a move ultimately you would do.
Well, and because I think he would be getting a deal on potential more than production.
Okay, which would automatically make it a more affordable deal. You would hope.
I don't think it will be.
Well, then if it's not an affordable deal, then he's getting paid on what they think he pretty much is.
Well, don't you think he has leverage right now in negotiations with them? If you don't pay me, what's your plan B? What are you going to do?
Rely on Darnell Washington. What, Michael Pruitt?
No, but I just mean like the wide receiver two hole helps Freiermuth in negotiations too.
You're right.
Because he takes on a bigger role in their offense. And if they get Ayuk, I actually think it crushes his leverage. If I were him, if I really wanted to stay in Pittsburgh, I'd want to get a deal done right now on that. I'd want to get locked in before they make this big wide receiver trade, and then now they got one up in negotiating, and we've got our two big expensive playmakers. Well, not Pickens isn't expensive yet.
We've got our two big names though, and we've got our guy that we just paid probably close to $30 million to. We don't have anything in the budget for you. Yeah, he was unimpressive, I thought, in the game. I mean, everybody that suited up and wore an offensive number for the Steelers was not a single impressive player of that bunch.
412-928-9370. Here is one of our favorite listeners out in Burgettstown, Andy. Hello, feller.
Hey there.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, I think Russell Wilson's going to do good for the Steelers. I've said all along since they got him, they're going to go 14-3 this year. And I stand by that. I've been a Seahawks fan forever, and so I know Russell Wilson. So
Andy in Burgettstown has been a lifelong Seahawks fan. How did that happen?
Over 40 years. Well, I grew up in southern West Virginia near where Kurt Warner was from, the running back from Penn State.
Oh.
He was like a hometown hero.
Yeah.
He was like a hometown hero down there. So I rooted for him ever since.
So you were wearing that blue and silver.
Oh, that was a great jersey with
combo,
the little green.
Andy, you were into all that. You were watching Steve Largent catch passes and
Dave
Craig, and then they drafted Rick Meyer and he sucked from Notre Dame and all that business. You were
I've seen it all. I've seen them go 2-14, score a low amount of points in a 16-game season.
So in Super Bowl 40, who were you rooting for?
I was rooting for the Seahawks.
Do you still feel like they got jobbed?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and what do your friends tell you when you say that you're out of your mind?
I tell them the guy wrote a book about it, the referee. I forget Bill McAfee, if I remember his name right.
Man, Wyoming. He's Kurt Warner's from Wyoming, West Virginia.
Thank you, Andy.
And there's not a whole lot happening in Wyoming, West Virginia. I just looked it up. It's literally the definition of like one of those little mountain hollers.
If there was a guy from your neighborhood, Donnie, who went on to play in the NFL, do you think you would have adopted that team?
That's a pretty good question. I mean, is this just a guy from my neighborhood,
yes,
or do I have any relationship with said person?
Well, let's start with if you had a relationship with the person. Do you think an impressionable 10-year-old Donnie would have adopted that team as his favorite team?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's just say he goes to your high school and he plays football where you played football and is a few years older than you.
It would have just been, like, root for him individually, not, like, take his whole team over.
Okay.
I mean, this guy was back in Brian Bosworth, presumably.
Because Andy in Burgettstown sounds like he just went wherever Kurt Warner went, Penn State, Seattle.
I'm just telling you, dude. If he's from Kurt Warner, it says he's from Wyoming, West Virginia. It's a county, but it's also a town. When I say, like, this is rural West Virginia.
Does Andy sound like a guy that's rural West Virginia to you?
Yes.
He does.
This is rural West Virginia.
Oh, I mean, there are still parts of West Virginia that don't have internet.
This is on the Guyandotte River, I guess. I'm probably butchering that. The town of Wyoming, West Virginia has a Methodist church, a post office, no apparent grocery stores, and there can't be more than 50 houses. Probably actually more like 30 houses.
Just simple living out there.
I could imagine you thriving, frankly, Donnie.
I was going to say, Andy does sound like a hayseed. Do you hear some hayseed there? Some down home?
Isn't that more of a derogatory term?
How about down home?
Yeah, I think he's just comfortable living with the land.
He had a little bit of that Texas twang. Keith twang to him.
See, that's the
like
thing
about... When he first clicked that on, I know we've taken his calls before. I was like, that sounds a little bit like
Keith. See, the thing about Texas Keith, though, that I think is funny is he's got the twang and he's Texas Keith, but I think if Texas Keith were put in Wyoming, West Virginia, he'd go stir crazy.
Do you think Andy in Burgettstown has ever had a conversation with that dangling piece of grass?
Yes, like a little piece of wheat. My dad used to like to walk around and
do
that.
You know what I'm talking about, Donnie.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing in there?
My dad would do
because
that.
Because I know what you're talking about. It was a funny visual.
Does Andy in Burgettstown, has he ever owned or attempted to learn to play a banjo? Which is, I feel like, the official instrument of your, you know, doing bluegrass. He's near Kentucky in Wyoming, West Virginia. Bluegrass music's huge down there. He had to have a dip in while he was talking to us, right?
A spittoon?
He might actually do, like, the old chewing tobacco, just like the pouch, like the mail pouch chewing tobacco.
Do you think his parents used a washboard instead of
yes,
a washing 100%.
Machine?
Odds
maybe both.
Odds that his favorite movie is Deliverance.
See, now we're just going full down the stereotype path here. Because I said banjo, and all you probably thought of was...
Yes, I did.
Right. What if his favorite movie was just like Jack Reacher or something like that? Just some very...
John Wick.
Yeah, just some very slick urban movie. Where
I bet you he loves... bet you he... Remember that song that came out maybe like a year ago?
No, I don't.
About that one guy who, like, didn't have a record deal or anything like that. He just, like, it was completely organic. He was talking about people, politicians ripping everybody off.
Yes.
You know the guy I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I bet you Andy in Burgettstown loves that guy.
Richmond, North of Richmond,
yeah,
or whatever that was.
He jams out to that one.
What was that guy's name? His 15 minutes are up. He and the Hawk Tua girl should get together and do some sort
Hawk
of
Hawk Tua girl threw out the first pitch at the Mets last
Why
week.
Why was she doing that? What connection
she was in
she
town
to
help dogs vet to connect vets with dogs. A very noble
really?
Cause, Chris. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She's promoting that.
Pretty good use of your 15.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
15 minutes.
The Steelers looked awful, offensively. They looked absolutely awful. I'm very, very disgusted with what I saw. Let's get that out the way first. And I'm not enthused. I know that the AFC North is no joke.
Let's get into it right
now. I'm looking at Burrow. I'm looking at Lamar Jackson. I see
Deshaun Watson
got. And you got Amari Cooper there and Njoku. And obviously, I'm just looking at them right now. And I'm like, and I've never said this before because I believe in Mike Tomlin so much. But the Steelers got last place written all over them. They got last place written all over them. I don't see how they get out of this.
Donnie, do you agree with that? Steelers have last place written all over them. That was Stephen A. The overreaction is on. I've tempered all my thoughts. I've been very level-headed. I'm done making bold declarations and proclamations after preseason games.
You have not declared anything. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But apparently Stephen A. can't do that.
No, I don't think they have last place written all over them. They haven't been last place in my lifetime. I don't think they've been last place in like 35 years. The AFC North was not a division.
Correct.
Not even close
They're
to being
the
a division.
That's never finished last.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second, though.
There's a first for everything?
No. Why does stuff that happened in the early 90s have anything to do with this year's team?
Well, something that has happened for the last almost 20 years now is that they never finished below 500, which is an ongoing joke in this town, but at the same time, it is true. And I think as long as you manage to do that, you're not going to finish in last place.
I don't see... Let me put it this way. Unless we get injury luck again where Burrow goes down, I think the Steelers are going to, well, they need Burrow and they need Lamar Jackson to get hurt.
Oh, that's
and
it.
And I guess that could happen. I mean,
in Jackson's case, it seems like it happens
almost every year.
Burrow has to have the same label attached. He's been hurt twice.
I think they're a third place team without those two things, Chris.
Yeah, I think they are too. But third place ain't last. I don't know. Stephen A. is doing Content Mill 101. We all know he's a big Steelers fan. He loves to rip the Cowboys. What better for Stephen A. to do on a day like today than to overreact to a preseason game?
I know, but he's not
sounding like
a Steelers fan because of what Donnie just said. Steelers fan says, we haven't finished last since 88, grudgingly says we've never had a losing season under Tomlin, and never, ever, ever believes that the Browns are actually better than this team.
That's even like, when they beat them in the playoffs.
That's like on like the Ten Commandment list of things you know or you cite as a Steelers fan.
So why would Stephen A. say this? Maybe he's trying to get through to Mike Tomlin.
Maybe he's posting it. He knows it's like he's in cahoots with Tomlin. He says it. Tomlin then takes it and it's bulletin board
material. Sends it to his team. Can you believe this? I thought this guy was my friend. Team responds with a 12-win season. Tomlin quietly thanks Stephen A.
He's using Stephen A. to...
Maybe he needed to try doing this with Kenny
Pickett last
year.
Gin his team up to get his team, yeah. Well, you have to evolve or die in this business, Malzi.
Man, I still can't get over how teed off they were in Philly about that Thursday night.
I threw out all my Pickett stuff this weekend. It's gone. All of it.
I hope you didn't throw out the jersey that fake John and Robinson got you, the Eagles Pickett jersey.
No, it's still in my locker
here. I'm wearing my Saints one.
It's still in my locker here. All my Steelers Pickett stuff is gone. I just needed to have a cleansing this weekend.
Why didn't you give it to somebody? Like, donate it to Goodwill.
You think people would want to wear that stuff? I know that I know that they're less fortunate out there, but...
Yes, they would wear it.
I mean, that's like the episode of Seinfeld where, like, not even the people that were destitute wanted the day-old bagels. You think
Or the muffins without tops?
Yeah, you think they want Pickettsburg shirts?
I mean, they could send them overseas, maybe? I don't know. Like the Super Bowl losers?
I like when one of those shirts ends up at Gabe's, like it didn't make the shipment over.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like the
yeah.
Super Bowl loser. Like,
well, no, I had the all-time example of that, and I think I gave it to my brother because it started to shrink and didn't fit me. I found at Gabe's New England Patriots 19-0 Super Bowl champions undefeated hoodie, and I wore that for a while.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It was there are pictures.
That's an awesome shirt.
There are old pictures of me circa like 2008 wearing a Patriots undefeated Super Bowl champs hoodie. It was one of my prized possessions till it shrunk too much.
What if I changed the question for Donnie and said, even citing those stats, better chance the Steelers finish in first or last?
Better chance of last because okay. There are two teams that are far. I don't want to say far and away, but two teams that are clearly to me better than them. So with quarterbacks healthy,
I do think the Ravens have a chance to be like frighteningly good if Henry still has some real gas left in that tank. And in Burrow's case, I think they could be even better than the Ravens because Burrow's that good when he's healthy.
I love Burrow.
Having said that, Lamar's style is always going to make it a risk. Henry, I don't think this will happen, but Henry could be getting to the age where he actually does age out. And then, like I said, Burrow could mess his calf up or do something. The weird one for me is the real determining factor as to whether or not they finish in last is this. Does Deshaun Watson make any kind of improvement this year? Because if he's the same Deshaun Watson he's been, I don't care how good their defense looks, they're going to be hard-pressed to win a lot of games. If he's good, if he's even... Pony, if he's even 70% of the Deshaun Watson he was in Houston, that's probably better than Russell Wilson or Fields could be this year. And then I think the Steelers are in real danger.
Donnie's segment is called the Donnie Football Debrief, and it's brought to you by his friends at Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Donnie?
The Debrief, August 19, 2024. BetOnline put out odds of the first college head coach being fired this season. Did either of you see this
list? I did not.
Billy Napier from Florida, 4-1. He is the top dog of somebody to get fired. Mario Cristobal from Miami, 6-1. Some familiar names find themselves a little bit down the list. Pat Narduzzi, 12-1. Ryan Day, 12-1. Neil Brown, 14-1. Then Deion Sanders, 50-1, all the way at the bottom.
Okay, probably because there's a huge buyout there. I was listening to some podcast. I think it was a golf podcast where they were actually talking about college football, and the guy just made one.
Oh, like they often do.
It was a golf.
Just veer off from how to chip from around the green to breaking down.
Here's what it was.
The state of college football coaching.
It's a golf podcast that has splintered off into numerous other sub-podcasts, and I was listening to one of those. And the guy made one of those, like, I'm not a sports insider, you know, point, but I have, like, a casual person's opinion that just sometimes those cut through the noise for me. He just said that feels like the general vibe there is that it's going to go, it probably, if there's a chance it could work, but more likely than not, it goes very, very bad and gets very, very ugly for him.
Who's him?
Deion at Colorado. More than he actually proves everyone wrong. It's apparently what? The guy like doesn't like to, he just won't go on recruiting trips. Like doesn't
He wants to bring the players to him. He wants to show them how he's living and not go into their homes.
Yeah.
Because he said as a player when he was being recruited, he was embarrassed when coaches would come to his apartment or wherever they lived because it was not a very nice house.
I mean, that's a nice like story to tell or whatever, but it just makes him sound like a cover for I'm too lazy to go to these guys' houses. Like, that's like the lifeblood of this. Even in the NIL and transfer portal there, you still got to go into living rooms. You still got to say hello. Holgorsen told us one of the funniest stories ever, just about all the food he had to eat in, like, one day on a recruiting trip, and it was all this, like, country food that he had never had before. That you still have to do that. Ryan Day is under probably more pressure than anyone in the country. Kirby Smart's probably the best coach going. I would imagine they're still going into living rooms.
So he's 50-1, you said?
Yes.
And how many coaches were ahead of Narduzzi on this list? A lot?
I mean, looks like about 8. Napier, Pittman from Arkansas, Cristobal, Aranda from Baylor, Lee from Vanderbilt. Is it Satake, BYU?
Yeah.
And then Wilcox in California.
So there used to be a website called Coaches on the Hot Seat for college football. and it was just like a throne with flames on it, and they would just show like the faces of the 10 coaches who they thought were most likely to get fired. And I would constantly go to that site as an adolescent and as a guy in my young 20s because I felt like Syracuse football was such a joke and they usually had someone that was on the cusp of being fired. That's where, I guess that's where Narduzzi would reside here, according to these rankings. He would be, I'm looking at Yahoo Sports. They just put an article out today about coaches on hot seats. And he is not, he is listed as his power, his seat is getting warm, says Yahoo. It's not warm yet. So it's maybe in the low 70s, temperature-wise?
Bleacher Report, coaches whose seats are getting warmer. Pat Narduzzi. Yes, his 65-50 record over nine seasons is impressive, is it? And the Panthers won the ACC in 2021. But Pitt would have just one college football playoff appearance in his 9 years in the under the upcoming 12-team format. If he can
Okay, that's good at Pitt.
I know. If he can, well, 12-team format makes it a little less good. Another losing campaign might make his overall tenure mediocre at best, which would prompt a change. Does Pat always strike you as a guy that almost would be willing to take another job somewhere else, not in college ball?
He strikes me as someone that would go to the NFL as an assistant before college. That's my take.
I don't get the sense Pat loves the shift in the power dynamics of the sport.
What makes you feel that way? Him openly talking about how he has some resentment towards the whole thing?
I'm trying to be charitable here, but yes, it's the open resentment.
I'm not just saying this is someone that feels like he has a good relationship with Narduzzi. I think it's just objectively true. He's been their coach for 10 years, right? This is going to be his 10th year?
Yes.
In his time at Pitt in the ACC, do you know how many schools have a better win-loss record than Pitt?
Clemson.
Yep.
I would still say Florida State.
Yep.
NC State.
No.
Are those the only two?
Those are the only two.
Miami always underachieves.
But so I look at it this way. The ACC is not the SEC or the Big Ten, but you're telling me that the coach at Pitt in a league with 15 other teams has the third best win-loss record? As a Pitt fan, how can you argue with that?
I'm a little, well, because they still lose some of the games they
no
lose.
No doubt,
the
but they always have.
I know, but you would eventually want somebody to change that. The only one of those I'm surprised by is
and
North
be better
Carolina's
than Clemson or Florida State, Chris?
No, you're not going to be better than Clemson.
I mean, think of like the, not that, again, it's not the Big Ten. It's not like a religion
no,
or lifeblood.
Third is better than I thought. I would have put UNC actually ahead of them too, and maybe Miami, but Miami always screws
up. In terms of fan interest and resources in NIL, there's probably a half a dozen at least programs in the ACC that care more and commit more to college football than Pitt.
Miami, UNC, Clemson, Florida
Virginia
State,
Tech for
Virginia
sure.
Virginia Tech, and they're really on hard times. That might be the five. I don't know. I think I have a pretty good relationship
with Pat. How about
Louisville?
I mean, Louisville, they got big donors too. But I'm just saying, like, there, you can make a case, given like where Pitt plays its games, that we're in a pro sports town.
I understand all that. I do. And he's had really good players come through here.
What's keeping Pitt from turning into Boston College in
okay,
football?
Okay, again, well, not a lot.
Just that we're a region that produces more football
probably.
Players than Massachusetts and New England, so it's easier for
maybe,
us to
yeah.
have.
I think that's probably true to some degree. It's not. That's a place in the country where football's not as big of a deal. I would say this. I have a pretty good relationship with Pat, maybe not to the extent that you have, but I think it's always been cordial and good. My biggest issue with Pat is a guy that actually has cheered for Pitt pretty much his whole life. I guess I moved from, what, Tommy Frazier's Nebraska team over to Pitt.
Oh, there's a drop-off. No offense to Pitt.
No, big drop-off from the 95 Cornhuskers to pretty much anyone. I just always have felt like Pat has been stubborn about offense being the name of the game
sure.
in college football. And I do think that has limited him at times. Like, I don't think he resented the year that they had under Kenny Pickett, but I do think it frustrated him that it took a guy having a college season as good as Pickett had that year to get to where they got.
His two best offensive coordinators in terms of performance were Matt Canada and Mark Whipple.
And they both peaced out
the
next year.
Did not.
He talked bad on Canada at that coach's thing and said, like, can you believe this guy?
And that was ready to be done with Whipple, too.
And so I do think that that's part and parcel. I think if Pat could just have football be all defense, you just play defense at all times,
he would be happier.
Well, that's where I actually give him some credit for how he changed his staff going into this season. I feel like Cade Bell would not have been a coach that he would have even considered a few years back.
Give me a...
Like young... I know it was a small program, sure. but young, and very offensive-minded.
To your point, they're going to with, I think, something of a gimmick there because that guy loves to go warp speed at Western
Todd
Carolina.
Todd Graham.
Yes, but I mean, like, in a way that actually at least has an identity that's more geared with what college football kind of is.
You know what's crazy about that? Do you know who their offensive coordinator was that year with Todd Graham?
Hold on. Don't say it.
Donnie?
I'm going to try to guess it.
What year was that?
2011. Their offense.
It's somebody with who's gone on to like bigger and better things, I think.
Time up. Mike Norvell.
I would have come to it eventually.
Todd Graham is a more impressive coaching tree than Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
Oh, God. All right, last one on this. Give me a win-loss record that would make you say Pitt would be justified to move on from Narduzzi at the end of the year this season.
I think it has to look like what it was last year.
4-8. Because you could conceivably win 4 games and basically beat nobody other than like a punching
Youngstown
bag
State.
Kent State. Boston College is supposed to suck, right?
Bill O'Brien now there.
See, Dino Tomlin scored the first touchdown of the spring game, I guess, or something. It popped up on my Instagram.
Well, we should beat Boston College because the Steelers swooped in and stole their strength and conditioning coaches.
Wouldn't that be the new guy who did the Russell Wilson sledge?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.